The Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 2nd, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. The Biden administration says it will soon release its American Family Plan aimed at providing relief for working families. Nadia Ramlagan tells us the plan is expected to include a national paid family and medical leave policy and expanded tax credits for families.
Anna Pardo with the North Carolina Justice Center describes it as a national emergency as Black, Latino, and Indigenous women struggle to find child care during the pandemic while losing jobs in the hardest hit industries, especially in states like North Carolina that don't require private employers to offer leave, paid or unpaid.
On the national stage and in certain local and statewide races, we've seen this issue come up again and again. I think it's really gathering steam. It's squarely on the agenda of our current president, and we're going to do our best to make sure that that is echoed here at state level.
She adds 80% of Black women with children in North Carolina are primary breadwinners and caregivers, and they make up about half of the state's workforce. She says it's possible the Biden administration's second spending package could include a universal 12 weeks paid family and medical leave policy.
More than 200 U.S. companies recently signed a letter asking Congress for a comprehensive nationwide paid family and medical leave policy. In the last year, folks in Utah have been caught between caregiving responsibilities and economic security. Vasu Reddy is with the National Partnership for Women and Families.
Those folks have been put in this impossible situation of figuring out, what am I going to do? Because I don't have access to this really common sense policy that would really help at this moment.
Several bills to expand paid leave were filed in the most recent Utah legislative session, but none of them survived. And new restrictions to voting by mail in Florida could endanger the vote of anyone who chooses to use that option.
Even though Governor Ron DeSantis touted Florida's November elections as a model for the nation, he's backing changes by way of House Bill 7041 and Senate Bill 90. The bills would require voters to make a new mail-in ballot request for each election cycle, and it would stop an election supervisor from sending a mail-in ballot without a request. Brad Ashwell with the group All Voting is Local says the bills also force a supervisor to only use the most recent signature of a voter on file to verify, which is against the current standard.
The most recent one's a scribble, and the 10 before that all match perfectly the one on file. They'd be able to say, oh yeah, this is the person. This would eliminate that capability and it'll lead to voters getting rejected, getting disenfranchised.
The bills are seeing bipartisan opposition from election supervisors, but are advancing nonetheless in the Republican-controlled legislature. I'm Tramell Gomes.
This is PNS. In Wisconsin, more women are taking over farms and owning farmland, but they're not seeing the same outreach as men to help them learn best practices, including conservation.
Despite changing demographics in agriculture, groups that support women say there hasn't been enough encouragement for them to sign up for incentives to adopt conservation methods on farms. Chris Marion of Wisconsin Women in Conservation says the new coalition she's a part of is taking on this cultural barrier.
Until the 70s, women weren't guaranteed the ability to even own land or have access to credit in America. So we're playing catch up a little bit here. But we're playing catch up really fast.
The coalition is helping women with technical assistance and other tips on accessing funding. It's holding a series of virtual workshops this spring, including April 6th and 7th. According to the 2017 Census of Agriculture, women make up 35% of farmers in Wisconsin, a double-digit increase from the previous survey. I'm Mike Moen.
State officials making changes to this year's plans for statewide standardized testing, known as MCAS, or the Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System, but some educators would like to see it canceled altogether.
Passing the MCAS is required to graduate high school, although State Education Commissioner Jeffrey Riley is recommending the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education end the requirement for current 11th graders. 12th graders already had a pass because of missed testing opportunities last spring. Sue Sullivan, who teaches at Northampton High School, says she doesn't think a diploma should be based on a standardized test for any grade.
The majority of kids that are not passing the MCAS that are struggling to get their diplomas are students of color and poverty and trauma.
A bill before the General Assembly would eliminate the MCAS as a graduation requirement permanently. I'm Lily Bolke.
Finally, Thursday was April Fool's Day, but as we wrap up the week, Eric Taganoff tells us today, Oregonians have opportunities this month to find out how to protect themselves from fraud.
The Oregon Scam Jam is taking place virtually each Friday this month, starting April 9th. Doug Shadell, the AARP Washington State Director and a former Assistant Attorney General in that state, is hosting the first session. He says the most common scams right now involve the COVID-19 vaccine.
It ranges from, we could get you an appointment tomorrow, but you've got to give us your personal information. And then they take that personal information and use it to exploit your credit, or even asking for money to be able to get to the head of the line.
Federal Trade Commission finds consumers lost $3.3 billion to scams in 2029, up from $1.8 billion in 2019. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. You'll hear us at great radio stations across the nation and online at publicnewsservice.org.